The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 30th of June, 2026, and you're on the clock with Erin. Yes, it's Pride Month. Yes, I'm still a sissy. No, I didn't really talk about Pride Month, but that's okay, because sometimes pride is about being radical in multiple ways or in a variety of ways. But the irony, listen, this news cycle sometimes is so fast that even I can sort of spin out of control. As a out, openly queer radio show host, I didn't want to make gayness the center of my show. Why? Because that's only a part of who I am. There are many other parts of who I am. And being radical to me is about all of the parts of who I am. So we didn't end up Pride Month in June on the show. There's another reason why I didn't talk about Pride Month in June on the show, because that's an American pride. Pride, a North American discussion, a North American advocacy. It's not necessarily our advocacy. It's not necessarily our pride. And I want to have conversations about us, rooted in us, devised by us. Now, today's the last day of Pride Month in the U.S., so I'm referencing it. But I want us to think about pride differently, especially since the Independent Secretariat say now we have a National Pride Day, right? That we celebrate, I think, on the 3rd of July of every year. The 1st of July tomorrow is Flag Day. Now, in studio today, I have some radical guests. We're talking about a part of the Bahamas, a part of the independence experience, a part that we don't normally discuss, these things being a part of our independence discussion. But I got some radical young people in studio with me today, and we're going to be talking about some of the radical stuff they've been doing. But I want to point out something to y'all, because I know y'all missed it because nobody talked about it, right? June is Global North Pride Month. And you know what else June is? June is the month, the 10th anniversary month of the gender equality referendum. It happened, the referendum took place on the 7th of June, 2016. The irony that that referendum, gender equality referendum, would take place in June. I don't think even the gods didn't know what was happening. It's a nod to Perry Christie and his infamous turning point statement. Even God can't stop us, right? But for many people who don't understand what took place in the referendum, right? Just a quick explanation. The Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas initiated a referendum with the intention of creating constitutional equality between men and women. They wanted to create constitutional equality between men and women by amending the parts of the Constitution that do not provide equal and or equitable access to the rights, benefits, and resources of the state. In this particular instance, citizenship. See, you have the right for the state, your citizenship to your spouse or children. In fact, I may not even have said it properly. You have the right for the state to convey citizenship to them by virtue of the fact that you have it. That's all the Prime Minister wanted to do. That's it. See, but to do that, Bill number 1, 2, and 3, they had to entrench the principle of non-discrimination on the basis of sex into the Constitution to, like, seal it up. That's the foundation upon which Bill number 1, 2, and 3 would stand, right? But here's what happens. Entrenching the principle of non-discrimination on the basis of sex into the Constitution does more than just create constitutional equality between men and women. It also means that you cannot tell a woman who she could marry. If she will marry another woman, she could marry another woman. It means you can't tell a woman how to identify, how to dress, how to call herself. Same thing with a man. See, that referendum was very radical. It was radical. Right? It was so radical. It was a radical we weren't ready for. It's a radical that we just weren't ready for. Right? Bahamians have decided, it's as simple as this, if men and women being equal means that the sissies them could be free too, then nobody could be free. That's the most radical foolishness I ever heard. In fact, this idea that we're going to have referendums to restrict rights rather than expand rights is just, it's like a phenomenon. It's fine. Sometimes, there's nothing wrong. Listen, there's nothing wrong with us. I wouldn't say all of us, right? I ain't even going to say y'all. There's nothing wrong with us. We just weren't ready for that radical. The deal is, it's not that men and women hate each other. It's that if creating constitutional equality between men and women means that the sissies are free too, then no, nobody's going to be free. Everybody lock up in your house, handmaiden's tale, no ankle showing. Let's go back, all the way back to 1749. What a date. Anyway, that is the summation of my Pride Month contribution. Bahamians, it's not that I'm begging you to be radical, you know. I'm not begging you to be something that you are not. I'm begging you to take a moment as we approach independence and look inside yourself and find a radical within you. Because it's there. I know it's there. You know, have you ever been to a comedy show and the comedian doing a great job and the audience get jealous and they gotta be funny too, and they funny too? That's us. That's us. We can't take us nowhere. Was a nod to the Sawyer Boy Show. That'd be funny. It was funny. It was fun. Right? Anyway, joining me in studio this morning, I have, from Ponciana Paper Press, owner and founder, Sonia Farmer.
Thank you for having me again, Aaron.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure. And from the Radical Acts of Publishing Workshop Series, I have joining us Suhaila Hepburn.
Hello.
And CMC Brown.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You got to get right up to the mic.
Hi, thanks for having me.
There we go, there we go. Now listen, you hear those tender, gentle voices? Don't let the devil fool you. These are three of the most radical women I have ever met. And today we're going to be discussing a project that took place emanating from Ponciana Paper Press called Radical Acts of Publishing. Now, for many months, I've been begging my audience members to contribute to a magazine recycling program. Right? One of the purposes, well, here's how those magazines were used. In this Radical Acts of Publishing workshop series for the, well, I'm going to let Sonia Farmer tell us what we did at the Radical Acts of Publishing. I have some questions, right? Mm-hmm. Ponciana Paper Press is a center for writing, books, book arts, and publishing. It's in Nassau. Parkgate Road is founded by Sonia Farmer, and it creates opportunities for engaging with books and their allied crafts in order to advance the diversity of voices in Caribbean art and literature and empower cultural ownership and voice. They offer workshops and publishing opportunities, host residencies, and coordinate community events. Their studios consist of a library, a letterpress, and printmaking studio, bindery, papermaking studio, digital support room, dark room, and shared studio space. Ms. Farmer, what is Radical Acts of Publishing, and why do we need Radical Acts of Publishing, this particular workshop series?
Cool, great question. So like you said, Erin, we're a center for writing, book arts, and publishing. It's kind of a wide but interconnected field. This more lands in the publishing, or specifically self-publishing, which I also think about as like self-determination, mm-hmm. which is very radical. Mm-hmm. To self-publish and make your own publications is very, very radical because you bypass, you know, the publishing landscape these days, which is made of these like sort of big five conglomerates, and it's full of like gatekeepers and also moderating certain voices to be a certain way, especially Caribbean voices. So we've always had a self-publishing culture in the Bahamas, so this is not really anything new, but it is part of that. Like, I position the press and what we do within that like series of history in publishing. So the way that we do what we do at Ponciana Paper Press through workshops, residencies, and any other programming opportunities is that we help people to rethink what a book is, how a book functions, what it can do, what does it mean to platform your work and quote unquote profit, or rather contribute to the like critical cultural landscape mm-hmm. here in the scholar, anybody, mm-hmm. right? Because we had a whole range of people join. So as coming out of that sort of philosophy, I designed or envisioned this course, a publishing incubator called Radical Acts of Publishing. A plant from the Caribbean Culture Fund. This is like a grant-making entity that provides financial support across the Caribbean. They're a relatively new initiative, but they have been funding some really powerful projects across the Caribbean. So this was their third funding cycle, and they had a special grant this time called Art for Change. And I thought, great, say less, because that's what I like to do mm-hmm. at the press. So I dusted off this Radical Acts of Publishing idea and applied. And they gave us a grant. It was a $10,000 grant. And with this, mostly what I did was put most of that money towards buying a risograph press or printer to add to our studios.
Now, listen, that sounds very, very fancy.
It's not a fancy. It's an amazing printer.
Listen, don't even call it a printer. Let me tell y'all people what this is.
It's a manifester.
Do y'all remember the mimeograph? Y'all remember before yes. the photocopy machine, you had to put the carbon paper on the thing and put the paper on the thing and turn the drum and shoot out the papers? I used to have to do that for Camp Simonette, Methodist summer camp program, right? When we were making up all the workshops. Well, this thing called a risograph is a digital mimeograph machine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a digital duplicator.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's basically an updated version of the spirit duplicator or mm-hmm. mimeograph. And they're made in Japan, and they're quite popular with small presses and art centers mm-hmm. because they allow through their printing process, which I won't get into because it's really technical and specialized, but essentially it is a good printmaker's machine because mm-hmm. you get to layer color one at a time and create some really bold compositions and do some very experimental things that you wouldn't get mm-hmm. to do with like laser jet or photocopier or things like that. So we added it to the studios. That was a long-term plan, but in order to launch or kick off the fact that we have added this really powerful machine or tool to our studios, mm-hmm. I launched this Radical Acts of Publishing incubator so people could come and learn how to use it and like open up their minds about how to create their own books and share their own work.
Yeah. For me, what I like about it, I was also a participant in one of the cohorts, is the type of project that I'm working on. Risograph makes it more affordable mm-hmm. to produce, right?
Yes.
As opposed to a standard printer.
Mm-hmm.
It just is
Yeah, it's more eco than digital, like traditional digital printing, certainly more than offset. But it's for specific projects. I mean, it depends always. I make lots of different kinds of books, handmade, special artist books, chapbooks, trade books. I use print on demand or book distributor. I use digital printing. I use all kinds of processes, letterpress printing. So it really starts with the project and what the project needs. So in certain cases, digital printers work. For your zines, they work because you get to capture the whole collage in the way that you put it together.
Yeah.
But for some projects, you can use the machine as the starting point to create certain bold compositions. And sometimes I think that placing limits on a project is also really helpful. So we only have two colors right now for our risograph printer, red and black. The grant could only cover one color and I bought the other color. We are actively working on fundraising for more colors if anyone's listening and would like to contribute. Because you could, you know, get many, many, many colors. I think there's up to like 12. We only really need a basic six. But you can like use that as a starting point and think, what can I make using this machine, which duplicates things very cheaply and efficiently, quickly. And also the ink is like very environmentally friendly. It's a really excellent little machine.
All right, we're going to go to the phone line quickly. Good morning, caller. Have you ever made a book?
How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Really, ask your guest, right? If she don't mind utilizing a printer, right, to make some books on how to drive.
Listen.
Man, just don't even stop. Just let all the ink go and just print them.
Listen, that's why. What you think I doing there?
I was gonna say, you know, Aaron already has that on lock in the studio.
What you think I doing there? I get ready to release my series of real driving manual.
That's a
first book for Miss Green, right? Or how not to cuss the tourists in public? I see an auction before.
You see me? Good. You could imagine. Why would 10 tourists get in a Jeep with only 4 seat belts? Does that make any sense?
No.
And then why you want? I hear you. Thank you, caller.
Yeah, thank you. So that's really interesting because we did make a range of books, and I really I enjoy this caller contributing this because the first thing that we did as a group was think about how we could really make any kind of book format work for what we want. It didn't have to be, you know, you didn't have to be a poet or a writer, identify yourself as that in order to join the incubator. You could be anybody who's just interested in like learning how to make books. We had 20 participants and people engaged through a range of structures and like perspectives and formats and themes. And so sometimes they were how-to guides, right? And those are very effective to explore maybe difficult subjects. Like one person explored how to be a bad daughter to sort of really think through her changing relationship with her parent, you know? And then another participant did an SOS guide to when things go wrong. This is an effective way to make a kind of subversive publication. You know, a how-to guide is always subversive if you're addressing something that is not really a conventional how-to set of instructions.
A radical guide to manage collapse.
Yes.
I think was one of my favorite concepts.
Yes.
Right? For the book publication.
Yeah, looking at like it was structured as what looked like a scientific field report, but turned out to be a poetic engagement with extinction.
Yeah.
Extinction and imperialism and everything that interacts with that, that has brought us to the present day. Yeah,
and
an
now,
excellent book.
To the caller, right? What I envision, so I make these zines. I make a magazine with 8 pages out of 1 sheet of paper. It has a cover and a back, and then it has an inner spread, like the old magazines used to have. You always look for that that dynamic double page spread, but I just have a 1 page spread on the inside, right? And as I've been making them, the first thing that always comes to mind is religious tracts, Jehovah's Witness, Seventh-day Adventist tracts, right? And although I'm not necessarily my work isn't focused on bringing people to Christ, right? I'm like, do these young people understand the tools that they have available to them? Does the church understand how to retain young people, not just as members of the faith, but as members of the community, right? As active members of the community. You don't have to do away with that old school tract, right? You can give the young people in your church or your organization an opportunity to enhance and evolve, right? This method of communicating, this method of transferring information.
Yeah. Do you remember when we were on your show for after the residency, the Lucayan Archipelago residency, and the Trinidadian writer Tracy Assing, she said, you know, the single sheet of paper is a revolution.
Yeah.
And it is. And, you know, I think there are a lot of people who are familiar with this anti-war sentiment where it said books, not bombs, you know, and which I agree with, first of all, just want to say I agree with, but I also think I would reply with, what makes you think that a book isn't a bomb?
Yeah.
Because especially if a book is, you know, doing something very, sharing some information that isn't well known, sharing a different perspective, you know, engaging with this sort of interspace between genre, which conventional publishing only engages with certain genres. It doesn't really have space for more experimental or subversive kind of work. So publication, you know, are in a way, they're very powerful. Those are very dangerous.
Absolutely.
And that's what we engage with at the press.
Let's go to the phone line. I'm hoping it's the new Ministry of Culture and Heritage calling to ask us how we're going to incorporate these ideas into next year's independence celebration. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You there?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yo, where is this? It's Guardian Radio?
Yes, sir. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. Good morning.
Oh, sorry. Wrong number.
No, this is the right number. Sir, have you ever written a book?
No.
You want to?
No.
Better start thinking about it, sir. You have a great day, okay? Try three. Try, you know I forget the number just now, right? 2300. And if you can't remember, if that's not, go search Guardian newspaper and the number will pop up on the Google.
Oh, okay, yeah, because I was trying to get Garth's number.
Oh, Garth Rosborough. Well, now you have Aaron Green. I was getting ready to ask you, how many books have you read, sir?
Okay, how many books have I read?
This year, yeah.
Yeah, maybe not enough.
I got you. That's a good answer, sir. Thank you very much. Have a great day. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, sir. How you do?
I'm excellent. How are you, ma'am?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. I'd like to just give you a little constructive criticism.
Sure.
Okay. I don't like how you just use the word sissy.
No?
That's outdated. You could say gay. I don't like it. Sissy sounds so vulgar now because times have changed.
Thank you.
Was okay in our day, but it wasn't as prevalent as it is today.
Okay.
And we did. We just found the voice word that came to our head. But
okay. The
young generation, I don't think they should be using that word now. The word that is more polite and it's more, I think it's better to say gay instead of, you know, I'm not knocking your preference.
No, no, I got you.
You say you sissy. I don't like that.
I get you.
That does something to me.
I appreciate, sir. I appreciate you sharing that here.
Yeah.
You know, I ain't taking no offense. Yeah. Okay. I want you to know I really appreciate that. I'm not taking any offense, and I appreciate you sharing that, right? Because it speaks to the shift in culture.
Right. That's an old word now.
Okay.
You know, for the want of a better term.
All right.
That's an old word. You know, times are changing. Everything else is changing. So are the languages. They're adding new words every day.
All right. Would you feel
on a term, I'd like to hear you say, I am gay.
Okay, what if I called myself an old bird? I could be okay. I could call myself
an old bird. No, you're no old bird. I saw you before.
Okay.
Nice woman.
Yes. Thank you, sir.
You got all your shots.
Thank you, sir. I really I appreciate sharing the sentiment. And I think the community appreciates it as well. Absolutely. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. How are you?
Right. I see your voice is familiar this morning.
Good morning. Yes, sir.
Hey, the gentleman who called us telling me he ain't going to get offended if he's one of them.
No, I don't think that's what it is either, though. I think what it is actually indicating that there's been a shift in attitudes, right? And people are aware of how some language can be problematic in certain spaces, And it is more likely that maybe they have a queer or a gay relative or a younger relative. And so now they're more sensitive about how we create the landscape in which those young people have to navigate, right? Because many people are like, hey, listen, I'm not, and I'm not necessarily supporting it, but I will support people being safe. And if me curtailing my language and changing my language is a part of keeping people safe, then, you know, that's, I get a sense of that's what the caller was alluding to, right? That we have shifted culture sufficiently that a lot of us understand now that that was not the best word to use. Now, I was being radical and colorful.
Yeah, I would say it depends on the context and who's using it.
Right.
Words, always language, right? Always language.
Right. Yeah. And so in the same way, right, let me reframe this. Ms. Farmer, in the Radical Acts of Publishing workshop, introduced us to numerous book styles, right? And so in the same way, a piece of work, right, whether it is a critical essay, whether it's a poem, whether it's a visual essay, the way that it's received can change based on the style of book that it's in.
Yeah, the book is a big part of the narrative. It's not just the container. It is part of the narrative. It is a dynamic site of performance.
Absolutely.
Books are always that. Even trade books, you know, depending on their design. But we really went into it with book structure. And,
right. Yeah. We learned the accordion fold. We learned the crunchy, I like to call it the sushi crunchy. Roll, crunchy. crunchy sushi roll fold. Right.
As the ox plows.
Right. That's what it's called?
The ox plows. Yeah, but that's like the official name of it.
The ox plows.
Yeah.
Look at it. And it's this is a real discipline, right? Mm-hmm. And so it was a great opportunity to explore not just what ideas they wanted to express, but how they can express it, right? So I got a bunch of questions, but we also have joining us in studio two of the participants, along with myself. We have Suhaila Hepburn and CMC Brown. Now, Suhaila, what Suhaila brought to the workshop for me, right, was the value of collaboration. Like, Suhaila's ideas are so bold and bright, right, that, like, just being in the space with her is inspiring. And I produce a number of things through the workshop, but because of, like, I incorporated at least three things that I saw Suhaila doing in her work into my work. And I don't just mean like ideas, I mean like actual materials. Mm-hmm. And so for me, the maximum benefit and the power of this workshop was the collaborative nature of the workshop, working alongside other creative and talented people. And I don't mean to say other, like I am as creative and talented as them, but being in the space let me pretend like I was talented, like, you know. So Suhaila, the major work that you produce is called Flamingos on Parade.
Yeah, Flamingos on Parade. I think the first work that I would have done in the press for the incubator, because what I thought was interesting is that, you know, the incubator is about 3 weeks. And I was just like, okay, let me do this first little project to start myself off with, and then I'll start my book project, you know, the meat of the program. And so Flamingos on the Parade is the one that I created in the later half of the program's time, but the first one that I created was actually using the Crunchy Fold, which was On Your Watch. And I thought it was so interesting that similar to how you do the one-page zine, the Crunchy Fold one was also a one-page zine. Mm-hmm. And it took me 3 weeks. And I was just like, whoa.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Let's go to the phone line quickly. Good morning, caller.
A pleasure. Good morning, Ms. Green. How are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you.
You know, growing up, Ms. Green, I had a brother and a father. Every time you saw them, they had a novel or a Miami Herald or something for one back of the chair reading and stuff like that. I was never much of a reader. Now, I was never encouraged to read much. My mother was a school teacher, but she died when I was 15. But I could read, Doctor. I read enough to pass my exams and stuff, all through the government high and everything. Everything was okay as far as my lessons and everything concerned. But I found myself to be more of a listener. Now, the other day I was listening to Mr. Carlos Reed talking to Dwight, and Carlos said, God made over 8 billion people in this week, and no two people are the same. We all are different. Like, I like to listen to talk shows. I like mostly listening. I learn a lot from you and different talk show hosts. And then sometimes I call it, like, Sparky is Sparky. I got my way of doing and saying things, but I don't use no obscene language. I might do it on my WhatsApp or my Facebook or my private social media. But publicly, you ain't have me curse on Guardian or use anything derogatory to anybody on Guardian.
Mm-hmm.
But yet when I call it to certain people, you would take time out to listen to me. Dwight will take time out to listen to me. Nuri. But then when I call certain people, and they say they have an open line show.
They're not entertaining you.
They're certain talk shows, but just tell the producer, I don't want Sparky to talk to my show. But they got to realize, not everybody going to say what they want to say
and
how they want them to say.
Sparky.
Some talk shows, if you disagree with them,
mm-hmm.
they call you all kind of...
That name too. Sparky.
Because it carried on.
Sparky, but you know, all I want you to do is write this book, Sparky. Right? Everybody, like the book you write, the Watkins book, mm-hmm. that book is a hoot. Right, Sparky? I appreciate you saying nobody encouraged you to read. You know that ain't no true. What you think your brother and your daddy was doing? What you think your brother and your daddy was doing? Anyway, Sparky, we want you to write that book. Bad. Because why? See, on the road, I don't cuss. That's my megaphone. I have a setting on my megaphone. Y'all need to stop importing the megaphone to discuss. All right, since we took this caller, let's just look at the text line. It says, okay, that was radical, but I'm not saying it loud. No matter what name is used, Aaron, many will still deny it, get vexed as to what they are. Don't be what you don't want to be called. This is why I respect you, Aaron. Keep it real. You're not a wolf in sheep's clothing like many. Here's what the thing is, right? Many people have been taught to hide their radicalness.
Yes.
People have been taught to hide their light. Right now, sometimes it is like from unprocessed trauma, like somebody who didn't hide their light and they get beat down and they tell the children, let's don't go that path, right?
Mm-hmm.
But no, we have to create an environment, especially for the young people, right, where they're not afraid to let their light shine. The community that holds, it's the community that holds them so that fire won't burn out and burn them down, right? And I think that's what Radical Acts of Publishing, this cohort series, has been for many people. So when we get back from the break, Suhaila, we talk just a little bit more about what you did, and then we need to talk to the CMC Brown, who has perhaps one of the most radical participants in the workshop. Text us, thank you. Very much, callers. Thank you very much. Sparky, start writing the book. We go into a break. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Put more money back in your pocket with the Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan. Why pay more when you can pay less? Reduce your monthly debt payments down to one low, easy payment. Apply for a Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Guess who's back?
It's that time again for the 31st annual Michael Scudery Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic.
Bring it on now, let's go.
Whether you're a player or a fan, you don't want to miss this one. The action starts July 13th at the Hope Center. Log on to peaceonthestreets.com and register.
Come on, everybody, let's go.
That's the Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic.
Where we shoot hoops instead of guns.
Game time.
Nick. You set your course, not cancer. So when your journey takes an unexpected turn, you seek out the experts who've conquered it before, and you forge new paths to help fight cancers. For every route to a cure, for every care in the world. See how we're innovating cancer care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Struggling to find your financial rhythm? Make that move to Fidelity and let us help you orchestrate your financial goals into perfect harmony with free financial coaching sessions. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
By a call buried in us all, anyone can see what it means to me. Finally companied in Omniverse, dreaming sweet in sea, governed by a mean commonwealth unseen, pirates in denial, plunder. Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. Knowledge wasn't power if it couldn't flex its muscle.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Erin Green. Now, that sounded like an odd little song in the middle of this conversation we're having, right? That song is called Bahamian Rhapsody. That's what the song called, Rhapsody, by a guy named Joe Hawley. Now, Joe Hawley obviously been to the Bahamas, right? And the song is a little long. I can't play the whole song. Maybe before Independence, I'll play the whole song. Here's why I play in the song, right? This is the only song. When I went online and I searched, I said, hey, Google, find Bahamian songs referencing blue holes, about blue holes or referencing blue holes. And I searched this like three or four times. And three or four times, the Google tell me this is the only song that's specific. Specifically references blue holes they could find on YouTube, but that there are a number of what we call like spirituals. Like, so you got the Sons of Andrus, the Fraser Brothers music, there will be a reference to a blue hole, right? But this, like, this is one of the only songs, and it's called Bahamian Rhapsody. And I just, you know, I think this is a sign that we are just not radical enough. As Bahamians, we just ain't radical enough. We need some more radical out there. We need some more radical out there. So, like, so for Sue, for me, mm-hmm. what was radical was watching you make a collage in color mm-hmm. and then figure out exactly how it would look just in red and white.
Red, white, and a little bit of black.
Right? Like, how you were able to create something in one format, envisioning how it would look in another format. Mm-hmm. And I haven't quite reached that level of creativity yet.
I think the process of the book creation, and why I even brought up the first project to begin with, because the first project, even though it was a one-page design, it was a fully... the visual narrative was fully constructed using the collaging method, and it gave me the practice that actually allowed me to understand how to combine the transference of taking the you want to be that conveys the visual part of your written narrative, but also take it in a way that when it interacts with the risograph that Sonia mentioned earlier, that it actually, the narrative remains legible within the risograph. Because, you know, when you're doing the collages to begin with, obviously the material that you're using, they're already in full color. And so when you look at it, you're just like, ah, beautiful colors. And then when you send it through the risograph machine, the risograph, as Sonia was saying earlier, it has its limitations. It's red and it's black. Mm-hmm. You can make gradations like lightening some of the colors to add some variety and stuff like that. But it's basically two main colors. And so for me, I had to problem solve of how do I take this project, Flamingos on Parade, that has such a strong, it's basically a visual poem. It's page by page. There are the words, but the real narrative is told within the images. How do you take that and keep it narrative when you have the limitations of the technology?
Mm-hmm. Wow. And this was inspired by a trip to a yard sale.
The original project was actually inspired by a trip to Eleuthera.
Okay.
But the visuals that I used was inspired by the trip to the yard sale. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So like two combinations. And then from your yard sale trip where you found the flamingos, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you were able to give me some sheets of paper with flamingo on it that I was able to incorporate into my inner spread, my magazine fold, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just fabulous watching you combine the narrative, the script narrative, mm-hmm. with the visual narrative. It's just fascinating, right? And that's why you and CMC Brown in heavy competition, right, for the most radical participants. Now, CMC Brown, I gotta read this. Y'all hold with me for a second, right? Mm-hmm. CMC Brown has written a book. And I just need to read for y'all what she thought we should know about this book, okay? Mm-hmm. Right? So first of all, CMC Brown is a Bahamian author of Gothic Romantasy. Born and raised in the Bahamas, she draws on Bahamian folklore, Lucayan history, and the haunted landscape of the islands to build worlds that feel both ancient and newly discovered. Her debut novel, say it out loud.
Liquid Sunlight.
Liquid Sunlight is the first book in a four-part series set in 1930s Andres. Right now, y'all listen to this. In the blue holes of Andres Island, something ancient lives. The Bahamian people know it. They feel it in the way the insects go silent at dusk, in the boats that come back empty, in the children who don't come home. They call it the Luska. They do not know what it wants. They only know to stay away from the water after dark. Isn't that amazing? Hold on, it gets better. Naomi Anderson has never had the luxury of caution. Sold by her aunt at 16 into a marriage she didn't choose, she runs the night before the wedding and falls straight into a blue hole. What pulls her out is not. A fragile, impossible bond forms between a runaway bride and a creature 300 years older than Mercy. But their love is a heresy that Luska cannot allow. And Naomi is something neither the darkness nor the warriors hunting it have ever encountered before. But wait, it gets better. This book is loosely inspired by the true story of Naomi Anderson, who really did run. So, CMC Brown, first of all, what is a gothic romantasy?
Okay, well, first of all, romantasy is, for those who don't know, is a mixture of romance and fantasy.
Hold on, first of all, that's like my whole life. Why? Well, I should have known that when I was 12, because me falling in love is just a fantasy. Go on.
The gothic elements come from the darker themes within the book. So we have themes, there are heavy themes such as, you know, death. There's themes of child slavery, child war.
It's 1930s.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what black people were experiencing.
Being forced into a marriage under 18 years old. And, you know, back then that was kind of the standard, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a really heavy theme, especially to young girls, to much older men mm-hmm. at the time. That's a heavy thing to unpack.
Even for people who live in an established culture of arranged marriages,
yes.
right? It's a heavy impact.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it was also, it's also my grandmother, my maternal grandmother. So I aged her up to 16 in the book, but she was actually 15 years old when
okay.
it happened.
Wow.
And she did truly run away from a man who was about 45 or 46 years old, and she decided
mm-mm.
this ain't for me.
Mm-hmm.
The most radical woman I knew, and she ran away, and she came to Nassau mm-hmm. and set mm-hmm. up a life, right, and be in town.
All right, so tell us quickly,
mm-hmm.
how, where the book is, like, where can we find it? How can we read it? Can I get an electronic digital copy? Can I get a paperback, a hardback? I need this book in my hand.
Yes, you can get hardbacks at Rabble Bookstore, at Poinciana Paper Press, also at Bloom and Bindings Bookstore. And it's also on Amazon as well, if you prefer a digital copy.
All right. Now, it gets better, people. So CMC Brown didn't write this book at Radical Acts of Publishing, but she did something even more fascinating. She used this space at Radical Acts of Publishing to
create three artifacts from within the universe of Liquid Sunlight. Oh. So they all connect to the book and they all connect to each other.
So pick them up and tell us what they are.
Yes, yeah, so the first one I created was a wanted poster, well, technically a notice of inquiry in 1930.
A notice of?
Inquiry.
Okay, would that mean you got to go before the court?
A notice of inquiry, so it was issued by the Office of the Commissioner of the Police in Nassau, New Providence, within the story.
Yeah,
and it
yeah.
was circulated for when my main character, Naomi, when she goes missing,
all right.
and everyone's looking for her. So it is authentic, as if it was from that actual time period.
Okay, nice. And the others?
The second one is a chapbook titled "What Is a Blue Hold?" And it's written in the voice of my main villain, the Luska. So it's not me who you're hearing speak. It's the Luska's voice. So when you read, you will be, by the time as you get to page 8, you're going to be very riddled as to what's going on. You realize something sinister is going on.
And listen, this is set up because of the way that the book is designed. Because when you look at the cover, so it's "What is a Blue Hole? Nassau, New Providence, 1930, but it's designed informational historical books that are shared. And at the top,
like
it says
something you would get at the Historical
right,
Society.
It says the Nassau Public Library and Museum. So the thing is you go into it thinking that, you know, there's a front page here, which is a brief educational note for visitors to the Bahamian Islands, compiled by the Chairman of Trustees, Nassau Public Library and Museum. And you're like, okay, yeah, I'm in, I'm believing you. But then it begins this sort of unsettling journey as you go through the book and realize that it's in disguise, which is
yes.
like also that's the Luska. The Luska is a shapeshifter.
Yes.
So
right.
it's very interesting.
So listen, I know about Chikchani, right? As a Chikchani catcher, Chikchani whisperer. Right? And I think I may be a Golan, which is why I have this inherent, right? So they say the Golan is a shapeshifter, right? The woman shapeshifting. But is the Luska like a Bahamian man shapeshifter?
Yes.
Who swing you with his sweet talks?
Yes. In the world of my story, he is actually a fallen god. And the Luska is actually the form he takes.
Don't tell us too much. Don't tell us too much.
Because
I mean, I could fall in love with him anyway.
Yes.
You could tell me he's a fallen god. I could fall in love.
Yes, he does have a human disguise that he changes. He has to change over the course of hundreds of years. And he's been in a war with Bahamians for over 500, but the original Bahamians, the Lukayans, they were the ones who started the war with him up to currently to 1930, when the current Bahamians now are still trying to fight him and get him because he is the cause of all of the evil in the Bahamas.
That's what they think.
Yes.
Because, I mean, Bahamian man, y'all ain't the cause of all the evil. Just some. Only some.
I'm sure there are lots of twists and turns as
yes.
the
all right.
books go through.
Is there another artifact?
Yes, there's one more. It's a love letter written from the main male lead from my book to the main female lead. When he has to leave her, he has to abandon her. And he writes her a love letter. But it would only make sense once you read the book and then you realize this is why he said what he said and why he did what he did.
Yeah. Okay, so they're like they're companion artifacts
yes.
for the book.
The love letter connects to the notice of inquiry. The notice of inquiry connects to the chapbook.
All right. Yes. Now, we're almost out of time. This is the first in a four-part series.
Yes.
Does this story continue, this particular Naomi Luska story continue, or is the story going to continue with other elements of life in this sort of universe?
I would say it's a mixture of both.
Okay.
The Naomi Luska story is the central theme is how do we defeat the Luska? But before that, you know, you kind of have to defeat the other antagonists within the story who are kind of under him as his henchmen. That's who Naomi falls in love with, one of technically the villains of the story.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. Okay, we are just about out of time. I'm going to take this call because we've had some calls flashing while we were talking. Good morning, caller. You got 30 seconds.
30 seconds. The person and the number to write that book.
Okay, you need...
I need the number. I can contact the person.
Okay, I can find somebody. I can find somebody for you, Sparky.
Okay, my number is 437-2072. Mm-hmm. Please inform me. You can WhatsApp me if you want to.
I got you.
437-2072. Thank
you, ma'am.
Absolutely.
We're going right to the university to find some young people to help Sparky write this book, right? As we close the show, I got a text on social media of the horrific crash, of the aftermath, of some of the victims in the hospital who survived the tragic accident, right? This is a very complex space. We don't have enough time to talk about it, but I hope this conversation today is the start of a conversation that helps us help young people to use the tools available to them to process and direct, right, their energy, their frustration, their trauma in positive ways, right? So instead of sharing these videos, we can create something like a magazine, a small zine, to hold and transfer our thoughts and feelings about what we've experienced. Sonia Farmer, CMC Brown, Sue Hyla Hepburn, I want to thank you guys for joining me today. And thank you to Caribbean Culture Fund and Ponciana Paper Press for hosting this radical workshop. Please reach out to Ponciana Paper Press if you're interested in some of the ideas you heard today, or you want to develop mm-hmm. some ideas you think.
Also, to set up a time to come and see the books. We have an exhibition up through the summer that shows all of the 40 to 50 books that all of the 20 participants created. Mm-hmm. And some of them are for sale and some of them are free. What people are engaging with in the publishing space, in the self-publishing space.
All right. To Ian Bethel Bennett, Sydney Colby, Saskia First, Tanavia Gilbert, myself, Suhaila Hepburn, Bahia Hepburn, Monique Johnson, Keisha Lynn, Quinn O'Brien, Alicia Wallace, DeAndre Ambrister, Suzanne Black, my favorite writer, Tyrico Bonaby, Colincia Brown, I don't know who that is, Eugene Elira, Tracy Farquharson, Shara Goldsmith, Candice Marshall. Brilliant things, radical things were produced. Yeah. CMC Brown, we're going to see you on the shelves.
Yes.
You guys have a great day. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next. Thank you, producer.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.